want to become financially independent, come to my seminar. Let me show you how to make the fortune you have always dreamed about.
Ready? Go!
What happens if you are named
in Nelson Rockefeller's will? You get rich quick.
Stand on the line, play the game again. Everybody's gonna lose and I'm gonna win. Gonna get rich quick. This is my lucky day.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Get Rich Quick with Josh
and Noel.
Right here on Radio Free Brooklyn, your home for all things New York.
Yeah.
New York City, I feel like. Even though they claim to be all about Brooklyn, we have nothing to do with Brooklyn.
No.
You and I live in Manhattan. We don't ever talk about Brooklyn other than when we speak about
Radio Free Brooklyn.
Radio Free Brooklyn. This is a show where I, Josh Rubin,
and I, Noel Dineen,
Come together once a week over a single topic, and from said topic, we give you a jiggity-jiggity ginormous amount of ideas on how to get rich from them.
Yeah.
From it. From the idea. From the topic. We don't ask for any money up front. No, 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 we do not. You take that idea. You action it. You get sick rich. You get big playa rich is what I'm talking about here. And then when you are driving around and you play a mobile on you play a yacht and you play a McMansion, then you think about us and you throw a little money our way. And what do they do, Noel?
After you're rich, after you are a playa, you say, hey, I didn't get here on my own. I wasn't just playing with myself.
What?
No. Josh and Noel were playing with me, and they gave me these wonderful ideas from which I was able to pole vault into the heights of the financial world. And I owe them a little something back, right? I owe them 10% of everything I made while I got rich. Tithe them. We don't want your poor money. We just want your rich money. So, you know, you don't owe us 10% of the job flipping burgers at Burger King you had in high school. Nope. You just owe us 10% of the money that you made off our ideas. This sounds like a bargain set in stone.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is a lot of money when you look at the numbers, right? 10% of the money you have when you're making 50 grand a year is a lot less than 10% of the money that you have when you're a billionaire. But you can give us 10% of that money and you won't feel it.
Yeah.
10% of your 50 grand a year money, you're going to feel and it's going to hurt.
Yeah. We're not saying, hey, everyone, you got to pay us $1,000 for every show you listen to.
Yeah, no. That's not what we're doing.
No, they're
free.
We're
saying, for those of you that go out there with our ideas and get stinky rich, then give us $10 million, $100 million. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about something this week. Mm-hmm. About how, you know, a lot of people might look at us and say, hey, you guys, how do you pretend to know so much about money when you both seem kind of broke? And I realized it's because we're keeping ourselves hungry like a tiger, right?
You got to stay lean.
Yeah, you got to. No one has a nose for money like someone who wants it.
How does Zuckerberg and Google and, you know, Twitter, how do they make all their money now? They don't come up with ideas anymore.
No.
They just buy other people's ideas that they've actioned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at Facebook with Instagram. Look at, didn't Twitter buy Vine?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, there's the possibility that someone's buying a TikTok at some point so it can stay here in the United States of America.
I bet you if you hid the numbers, Zuckerberg couldn't tell a $10 bill from a $1,000 bill.
I bet he throws them both around like they're candy.
Yeah. So you
like
listen
to
us.
He's a pinata. Hit him with a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. He probably can't tell the difference because he's walking around with billion-dollar bills. He just became a hundred billionaire.
A hundred billion?
Yeah.
Okay.
A centi-billionaire.
We should have a show where the topic is just how to steal his money. How to take his money.
He's still not the richest man in the world. Jeff Bezos is still worth more than he is.
Different episode.
So we'll just steal each one of their money. Him, Bill Gates, Warren Buffet. Warren Buffet. It's amazing. They named... He's so famous, the Warren Buffet. Named an entire dining style after him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's impressive.
They built a whole style of sneeze guard just for him.
Yeah. Yeah. He could never decide on a food to eat for dinner. So they just laid out like 20 different items for him to choose from with 20 different sides.
Yeah.
And they just called it a buffet.
Probably 80% of the tongs in this world were created solely for buffets.
Yeah. Well, cooks.
That's true.
Cooks use time. I mean, I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to say it.
Maybe 80%. I got to do research exactly on that figure.
Yeah, you should do some research on that.
But between 20% and 80%.
I like how you say I got to do some research on this. Like you're even going to do research on it, but that your research would constitute going to Google and saying what percentage of tongs are made for buffets.
That's research, that's dude.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Living in the Stone Age?
That's how I research for this show.
Yeah, exactly.
I learned something horrible today, Noel.
Oh, no, what?
I found out something horrible that apparently has been going on for years in my own home, and I wasn't even aware of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have a full beard.
Yes.
I've had a full... So I'm not allowed to talk about this now.
What?
Dev just shouted down and said, I can't tell this story.
What?
So... She just shouted down and said, I can't tell this story.
All right. Do you have a plan B story?
I have no plan B story.
Can you pig Latin the story?
What?
Can you pig Latin the story?
I can't pig Latin the story.
All right.
Can't tell the story at all.
Well, that kind of undercuts her opening.
It really does in a big, bad way. But, I have to keep the home life cool and quiet.
Yeah, copacetic. I get it.
Now, look, we are around each other basically 24/7.
I know. I got to tell you, dude, I've had it with the situation.
Yeah, yeah. It's enough to bring you to tears.
It is. The world right now is making me bananas. Nigel, great. Everything with us is great. Man, my building is making me crazy.
Yeah.
I think they're being, the management companies being their usual bag of dicks, but they don't understand that we're all like compressed right now and just waiting for someone to like mess with us so we can just be like, ah.
I know, it's really easy to explode now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I walk down the street, and like, we don't go out to walk the dog between 5 and, like, 7:30.
Too many people?
It's not that it's too many people. It's too many people out on the street. It's like, it's happy hour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's too many people out on the street not wearing masks, and it makes us want to kill people.
Yeah.
Like it's not even like where we're like chill about it anymore. You know what I mean? We walk by people and Deb goes, a mask isn't meant to be worn around your wrist, you know, or what's the point of having it under your chin when it's supposed to be over your mouth and your nose?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have this thing where I just genuinely want to ask people who don't wear masks in our neighborhood, in our city, why?
Or like when they kind of give you like about it,
yeah.
It's like, dude, have you not read a single word or watched any piece of media or anything for the past 6 months? Like,
yeah.
How can you look at me and wonder what my problem is? Like, last weekend, we had to go down. Nan had a piece of clothes she needed to exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to, it was from H&M. Mm-hmm. And we went in there, and I got in line. We had Nigel in the stroller, and we've got a gauze thing that covers everything, so it's almost like a mask over the whole stroller, right?
Right.
So we've got him in there like that, and you know, the place was not crowded. There was marks on the line, to be 6 feet away. There's signs all around the line, stay 6 feet away. And this dude who's like 20 years old is standing like a foot behind me. So I'm like, we were kind of at the end of the line where it was pushed out past the line part. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I'm like, this fucking kid. And then I'm like, I'm not going to say anything until we move. Because maybe he just came up here and he's like, I'm kind of close. And as soon as I move, he'll kind of stay where he is. And give us some room. So the line moves. I move up to the next marked spot on the floor. And he moves back right to like a foot behind me again.
Oh.
And I turn. And I just go, dude, really? And he's like, what? And I go, 6 feet. You never heard of that? And he's like, oh, whoa, 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 right? I probably went at him. I could have been more polite about the way I did it. But
him.
Yes, exactly. But then he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And like making it sound like I'm doing something crazy.
You're the asshole.
And I go, dude, no, whoa, 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 whoa. There's lines on the floor, is written right here, and I got a fucking baby right here. Get away from my baby. And he's like, and then he starts going about, how about you just mind your own business?
Oh my God.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And I thought my head was going to explode. And I go, mind my business? I am minding my fucking business. Get 6 feet away from me. And he's like, mind your business, mind your business. And then Nan kind of came over and distracted me from jumping down this kid's throat.
Oh my God. Did he call you Big Nose?
He didn't. No,
he couldn't tell because you had
the mask on. Yeah,
that was like that. It reminds me of that kid who was skateboarding in IKEA.
Uh huh.
That I yelled at.
Yeah.
And when I called him a fucking dum dum, his retort was, "Mister, you're Big Nose." Yeah. I mean, people are. I get that at the supermarket.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the thing. The things are fucking marked.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, if you're wearing your mask and you're 2 or 3 feet away from me, I can convince myself that it's, you know, okay, because the mask is supposed to, you know, it's 6 feet or wear the mask.
So how about, you know, 6 feet and?
Huh?
How about 6 feet and?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm better with 6 feet and.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm impressed you didn't just slug the kid the minute he said, mind your own business.
Yeah, how about you mind your own business? That's what he said to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm minding my own business.
Yeah.
Get out of my business.
That'll teach you to want to return the toilet paper clothes from H&M.
Yeah, I know.
The 50 cent item that you bought for the 50 cent pair of pants that you bought from H&M had to be returned. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah, it's fine.
Did he cry?
Did he? No. And then he stuck back after I did that, though.
Oh, did he, though? Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me that it's a guy thing. I do think there's a guy thing about that your ego won't let you just apologize and back away.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Especially a young guy.
Well, that's why afterwards I was like, I probably started a little more aggro than I should have. There was probably a way to do that where it all would have gone, oh, I'm sorry. Even if he thinks I'm a dick, it would have been okay. But he just immediately was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Which to me just means he knew he was being a dick.
Yeah, exactly.
They all know they're being dicks at this point. It, as I said, unless they haven't looked at any piece of media or newspaper or anything at this, they'd have to. Unless they woke up from a coma that they were in for 8 months, they know.
Yep, it's true. Well, Noel.
Yeah.
It's a fitting story.
Is it? As fitting as the other one would have been?
The other one would have been fitting. Because I almost cried at the end of the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this one is fitting. Because why, Noel? Today's topic is...
Because today's topic is crying. How to get rich from it. How to weep your way to the top of financial freedom. Crying.
So crying, Noel.
That's right. Crying.
How are you going to get rich from it?
I'll tell you, right? So, you know, crying, you do it. There's several different reasons why you do it, right? You do it just to lubricate your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You do it if your eyes get irritated.
Mm-hmm.
And you do it from emotions, right? You get happy, you get sad, and people lose it and they cry. Tears come out their eyes, right?
Yeah.
And I had always heard something, and in my research here, it didn't seem to hold up, but I always had heard that it's kind of poetic that tears are the same makeup as the ocean.
Oh, I see. That they're made from the same,
Right? I didn't find that in my research.
No, I found tears are not related to anything other than what's in your body.
Yeah, well, they do have a similar makeup I saw as saliva.
Yes, depends on the type of tears, though.
And the type of saliva, probably.
Oh, interesting point. Touché. Emotional tears have a ton of hormones in it, apparently.
Yes, they do have some. Yeah, there's a lot of different takes on why you cry. And that is one, that you are purging out these hormones out of your body. But then I heard other things that said that you're probably, it's a very inefficient way to do it. I heard one theory on why you cry that's the most absurd thing I think I've ever heard.
Okay.
Which was, actually it was about why you feel better after you cry.
Oh, okay.
And it was that the tears massage your cheeks.
That's absurd.
Yep. Yeah. That is absurd. Yeah. I'm going to go on a little bit of a side note here because I know you'll enjoy this. So in the research I did, I am not a crier, really. It's very rare that tears come out of my eyes, right? Very, very rare.
Cry when your son was born?
Pardon?
Cry when Nigel was born.
Yes, I did. I did. I didn't weep and weep and weep, but there was some tears and some... But that's just, it's so much going on and like, and then suddenly, you know, he's there. The whole trauma of everything going on is over. The buildup, it's a lot going on, right? It's an emotional roller coaster. Mm-hmm. But So I am not a crier. And one of the things I was reading was talking about people that don't cry. And it basically said there's two reasons why people don't cry. And one is that they don't handle their emotions and don't face things. And it was just very insulting against non-criers.
Right. Well, insulting or so on the mark that it was painful to watch, to read.
And the other one was like, or they've got something that we call, I forget what it was called, like blick-slip-look, right? And I'm like,
right.
That's it, obviously, right? Because I'm clearly not the other thing. So I went and started reading up on the other thing. It was one symptom of like basically you're going to die by the time you're like before you get 30. You're horribly deformed. It was like there were so many other things that went along with this that I'm like, I can't even cling to this idea anymore. I can't do it.
I can't deny the fact that I'm an emotional cripple.
Yep.
I just can't do it. The one out that I have means I have to say goodbye to everyone now.
And really, I was reading like paragraphs of like, well, I don't know if I'd call my foot a club foot, but you know, I got kind of big feet. Like, and I was really trying to cling to this idea. And then eventually it was, no, I can't. And then they started showing pictures of people with it and they looked like the letter S basically. And it was like, no.
If I check off like three possibles of the 30 definites, does that mean that I have this?
Yeah.
Because I'll take it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great.
I really tried to cling to it. But no. So what are tears made of, right? Tears, they contain water, mucin, lipids, lysosme, lysosme, L-Y-S-O, lysozyme.
We'll call it. Lysozyme.
Yeah. Lactoferrin, lipicillin.
Is lactoferrin related to Bobby Ferrin?
Yes.
Yeah. Like when you cry, is your tears going, don't worry, be happy.
Yep. They are. In a way, they are. Immunoglobulins, glucose, urea, sodium, and potassium, right? So that is what makes up your tears. So I was like, okay, what can we do with these things? Well, I did read one thing that said the one I couldn't pronounce worth a damn, the lysozyme. It's an enzyme that you find in human tears. Also found, by the way, in egg whites and saliva and the milk of mammals. And when crystallized, it exhibits the potential for piezoelectricity. And that is energy produced by certain substances under pressure. An example of this would be quartz. Quartz also has piezoelectricity. In 2017, scientists made the first attempt to test whether lysozyme really could produce electricity. You know, it was one thing to say it has a potential, but quite another to generate actual electric current. And they did. They took tears, smeared it over film, which was subjected to mechanical force. And sure enough, the lysozyme in your tears produces electricity. And I thought, great. Nothing spells money like electricity. If you don't believe me, ask Con Ed, right?
True.
Right? Big, big, big business. And I look around at the world we have today, and it seems like, oh, there's a lot of potential for electricity, right? Because at first I was thinking, well, how can we make a high tier event And it's just like, well, the world is pretty much a high tier event. But it also did occur to me that we have a huge high tier event coming up, namely the election.
That's going to be a huge high tier event.
Huge high tier event, right?
No matter how it goes.
No matter how it goes, there is going to be a large portion of our country crying and crying and crying.
Crying for joy and crying for sadness.
Yes, for both. Yes. And so it's simple. You're going to go out, you're going to hand out moisture wicking hankies. You know, be they Biden hankies, be they Trump hankies, and everyone watching the elections, they're going to have this waving it in their hand as they watch. And at the end of the night, roughly half our country is going to be crying of sadness. The other half is going to be crying of joy.
Tears of joy.
And you're going to have, basically, in one night, you're going to have captured a power plant, an atom bomb, if you say, right?
Wow.
You're going to take these, and you are going to get the tears out. You're going to apply pressure to them, and you are going to be able to supply power enough. You could eat, if you want to make this a real simple idea and not get too crazy, you could just supply it, feed it back into the electrical system and get paid. You know how if you have solar panels, they'll pay you for your surplus electricity?
Yep.
So just get something like that set up with Con Ed first. You can do this, and poof, a huge amount of electricity will go back. No matter how lopsided their agreement is, you're going to be a billionaire by the end of it. If you really want to go further, though, you can hook it into your own system and start selling your own electricity. It's probably easiest to do it through Con Ed, though, and sell it back as if you're doing solar panels.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you got to trust Con Ed to pay you the right amount of money, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Deb has a client who's been out of town since May or June, and she got and her apartment has been shut down. Like, no electricity, nothing on at all. No one's been in her apartment. She got an electrical bill this month for $240.
What?
And she called them up and said, what the hell are you talking about? And they were like, oh, we don't send anyone out to do meter readings anymore. We just estimate what your average use is based on, you know, what the weather's been like and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And so they were like, okay, we'll take this off. But if she didn't call them, she would have paid $240 for a month that she didn't do. And there would have been nothing she would have, you know, that would have happened. They would have just taken that money.
Well, eventually they would have read the meter. And if they had overestimated all those times, she would have then gotten credited back to then let them overestimate again in the future. Eventually they do rectify that.
They do?
Yeah. But who knows how long, especially now with everything going on. I'm sure they're milking it for everything it's worth. You know, I did think with this idea, but then I'm like, that it's crazy and not feasible and violent. Is there's a good chance if, no matter also which way the election goes, because I didn't even think about the tears of joy when I was really thinking about this.
Right.
You're going to have a massive confluence of crying Nazis and punching Nazis, which would cause the pressure on the tears, and you'd have the electricity right there. But I couldn't really figure out how to tap that electricity. It's easier to collect the tears and then make the electricity.
With the gloves that the people who are hitting the Nazis are wearing.
Make them tinfoil gloves?
Well, the gloves have, you know, what is it I'm thinking about? They'll have like wiring in them. So as they hit the Nazis, they're putting those tears under pressure, and then they're absorbing the electrical impulse as it
into a battery.
Plus, there's also the you know, energy that's created by the force of the punch.
Mm-hmm.
As well, it's really, you're really jazzing it up there.
Oh, sure, sure.
You know, and Antifa, you know, everyone's a member of Antifa now.
Everyone who's
voting for Joe Biden is a member of Antifa now.
Yeah.
He's clearly Antifa's candidate, the 78-year-old middle of the road Democrat is exactly who Antifa wants in the halls of power.
Yeah.
Antifa loves having finger gloves.
That's true.
You know what I mean? See all those kids dressed in black. So if you just hand out all these black finger gloves to them,
yep,
that have the wiring in it, and they can carry, they all have backpacks. They can carry a little battery in their backpack that'll just suck up that charge.
Yeah. And then you can go off the grid.
That's right. The Antifa kids can go off the grid with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're sending them, you know, money to make more shields and to buy gas masks.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be happy to do. That's like a gig they can get behind.
Yeah.
That's a job that those goddamn punks would be into.
Yeah. Power their tent cities.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Run their water, their gray water.
So, yeah.
Well, that was a great. I give you a standing ovation for that.
Okay. I appreciate your.
No, I'm not being facetious.
Okay.
Because I know the pressure you were under in creating that. I'm serious.
Yeah. I'm pulled thin. Pulled thin about? Right now.
Huh?
I'm pulled thin. I will admit it.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. You pulled it out. I thought you did a great job.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, that's all. I give you a compliment, and you can't take it.
No, I love it. It's my favorite.
You really are a fucking emotional cripple. Anyway, Noel, so as you said, humans shed tears for emotional reasons.
Yeah.
And it is believed that we are the only animal that does that. Most animals have tears. Most animals will cry, but it's usually to do more with lubrication of the eyes. But there's belief that elephants can show sorrow by crying.
I think Darwin came up with that. He asked like the London zookeeper.
Yeah.
And then they told him that the elephants cry for their dead elephants.
Yes, but they just shed like a tear or two.
Okay.
And, you know, most animals will yelp or cry out when they're in pain, and they will sometimes cry when they're in pain as well. But it's not, you know, that emotional crying, that sobbing and heaving that humans do. And I was looking up, like, why do they believe we cry? And I was reading some stuff from some evolutionary psychologists. And some of the things they believe is that crying, we developed emotional crying to show vulnerability and submission to an attacker. Because crying in humans solicits sympathy, right?
Yeah.
It elicits aid from bystanders. Right? How often, you know, especially if you're a kid and you're just standing out on the street and you start crying, how many people just come right on up to you and, you know, try to help you? You're cute, right? You cute little kid. I remember once I did the stupidest thing in the world when the first year that I had moved up here, I didn't understand how cold winters could be. You know, I grew up in the Caribbean. I would come up here for winters, but I would never be out. And I had gone to school and all I wore was a thin jacket, no gloves, no hat, and it was something like 10 degrees out.
Okay.
And I had to stand outside and wait for my bus for like 30 minutes.
Oof.
And I was fucking freezing.
Yeah.
And I got on the bus and I started to thaw out and everything started to burn and I started crying and I was 12 years old and the whole bus came up to me to help me out.
Oh, there you go.
12-year-old white kid crying on the bus.
Uh-huh.
That just got him. dead.
I guess Antifa's not all that bad.
Well, because it was New York. I think there were a lot of conservatives on that bus. it was a lot of older people.
Okay.
So it solicits sympathy and aid from bystanders, signals shared emotional attachments, and it triggers, as I was saying, with children and babies, the immediate need to help.
Yeah.
Not hurt, but help. Well, we all know that we love killing animals in this country and around the world. And clearly people have inured themselves in slaughterhouses and places like that to the sounds of screaming and crying animals, yelping or crying out, right? They've managed to be like, they're just animals. They're just animals, right? And there are groups out there who've taken it upon themselves to collect money in any way they can to save these animals. Groups like PETA, the ASPCA, the Humane Society, the Farmers Against Factory Farming. They're all looking to help these animals, the vegan groups out there. And I thought to myself, there are so many rescue groups out there. How much money are they taking in?
Mm-hmm.
And I realize you can find out if there's a website that will tell you what every charity takes in annually. And I looked it up, and ASPCA took in $241 million last year. Humane Society of America took in $112 million last year. PETA took in $51 million last year. There were hundreds of other groups taking in anywhere from $500,000 up to $5, $10 million. So what we're looking at is well over $1 billion in contributions to groups that are all about humane lives for animals. So this is what you're going to do, guys. You're going to use some CRISPR technology, and you are going to implant the genetic code to allow animals to shed tears of emotion.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen is you're going to have, like, imagine a cow. Even a big cow is super cute, right? It's got those big eyes that we look at.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that long nose.
Yeah.
It's kind of dumb, very looking.
And friendly.
Imagine if its upper lip started quivering and tears started welling up in its eyes and it started crying. You wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And you would have guys about ready to kill them who have been killing them for years and managed to emotionally cripple themselves.
Yeah. Walk off the job.
Walk off the job. The only people that are going to stick around are going to be the psychopaths who don't care one way or the other. If you do that, you can get so much money from these vegan groups, from these rescues to do something like that. If you can show that you can do it, that you'll make a fortune, then you'll double dip.
Yeah.
Because by doing that, you're going to weed out the people with the souls and that have humanity from the psychopaths in the world. And all these psychopaths are going to have jobs in abattoirs, slaughterhouses, right?
Yeah.
Because they're the only ones that'll be able to do it. And it'll be this constant battle. The battle will continue, but you will carpet bag and take all the money from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's my idea.
That's great. That's good. Hey, you guys, if you want to get in touch with Josh and tell him what a great idea that was and tell him in the way that he cares most, that which is money, you can. You can go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com, go to the Get Rich Quick with Josh Knowles show page, hit the sponsor button, pledge an amount, and half that money that you pledge will go to Josh and I, and Josh will feel real good about it. Half the money goes to Radio Free Brooklyn. Radio Free Brooklyn will feel real good about it, and you should feel real good about it too because you helped save our world. If you're like, no, I want to make Josh cry, Do it in the way that will hurt him emotionally the most, which is going to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. And right there from that main page, if you hit sponsor there, no money will go to Josh or I. All the money goes to Radio Free Brooklyn. You get a tax break because Radio Free Brooklyn's a 501c3 charitable organization. And sure, you helped community radio. You helped the arts, but you really stuck it to Josh, right? If you want to help out in other ways, you can subscribe to our newsletter. You can download the apps, iOS or Android, listen to the station live, or get all the archives for all the shows. You can, on Amazon, you can buy things on Smile. You can use the Radio Free Brooklyn Smile link or just put it into your Smile page. And all the purchases that you make, you don't spend anything extra, but Amazon will put a tiny, tiny little bit towards Radio Free Brooklyn, and enough people do it, it adds up. So we'd appreciate it if you do it. No skin off your nose, lots of skin on our nose, guys. And as thanks for helping us out so much, Josh finds another way for you to get rich. You know, every week we've got a topic. This week it's crying. We give you so many ways to get crazy rich. Not enough. Josh finds another little idea that has nothing to do with crying and shoehorns it in there somewhere. So, Mr. Josh, please take it away.
The Get Rich Quick Tip of the Week, brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn.
There are endless photos of millionaires and billionaires boarding their private jets, photos of your friends in lavish locations, and individuals traveling around the world doing things you could only dream of. A lot of people, sadly, fake it on Instagram, but there are some people who take it a bit too far. And I'm not talking about any bad photoshops. I'm talking about using Instagram to help commit a cyber scam worth $430 million. Today, we're going to talk about Raymond Arbus. He posted photos of him trotting around the globe, from sitting on a car worth hundreds of thousands of dollars under the Eiffel Tower to stepping out of his Rolls Royce in Dubai. Because, after all, Raymond wasn't really a billionaire. Born in Nigeria, Raymond worked reselling secondhand clothing in the city of Lagos for most of his life. During this time, he began to cultivate an Instagram following by posting a luxurious lifestyle, a lifestyle that wasn't actually his. He marketed himself as a real estate investor and posted inspirational quotes about staying hungry and working hard to achieve success. People were drawn to him, and that created a huge following of victims that Raymond could prey on. At his peak, his account had 2.4 million Instagram followers. He and a group of 11 others created fake websites for well-known companies and banks to steal credit card information. After people fell for the scam, they would launder the stolen money and be on their happy way. Well, that was until they got caught, that is. In early 2020, the police in Dubai burst into Raymond's apartment in the early morning. During the raid, the police found an impressive stash. They discovered $37 million in cash in the home. Upon further investigation, it was discovered that there were over 2 million scam victims.
That's right. Over 2 million scam victims. Most of them were Americans. Surprise, surprise. There were also, I believe, 15 cars that were worth $4.5 million.
Wow.
That guy had, they did it, man. They figured it out. They figured it out. And that's what you guys got to do, yeah. You know? This influencer thing, you can do it the hard way, where you work up your counts and you try to get, you know, people to pay you to advertise on your partnership deals or whatever the hell they call them, and, you know, say things like, go to this website and use code Get Rich Quick with Josh and Noel and you get 20% off. Or you could just rip people off and clearly get really rich from it.
Yeah.
So there you go, guys.
Yeah. Flip of the coin. Either way. Either way, you still end up with a coin in your hand, right?
Right.
You guys crying. How are we going to get rich with it? Right? Looked back at the history of presidents crying. First one I could find of a sitting president crying was Dwight D. Eisenhower at the 82nd Airborne Luncheon. Broke down in tears.
Why?
I don't know. Something to do with the war, probably.
Okay. I just wonder because it's at a luncheon.
Yeah. Well, yeah. 82nd Airborne.
Yeah, no, I understand. 82nd Airborne. I was just curious what about it made him cry.
I don't know.
That's all.
The heroism and the suffering.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
But, you know, presents on the whole, they try to exude power.
Mm-hmm.
Not look
certainly
like someone who cries. So it wasn't until there were plenty of things I saw of presidents who cried, but it was all like, here's like an old Gerald Ford crying. And he's clearly like 20 years out of office, right? And things like that. But the next sitting president I could find example of crying was President Clinton, who was moved to tears during a gathering of riders for the Health Security Express, a bus caravan of health legislation supporters. And he, the sitting president, broke down in tears. It was a powerful moment. It was. It was.
There
was
something about the way you said that.
It was a powerful moment. And I think it was a defining moment of the world isn't the same as it was before. And maybe now there is power that can be had, not from hiding your emotions, but from at times letting them come through, right? George W. Bush, he did a little crying in his time.
The W did.
Yeah. And he broke down in tears a few times and it broke people's hearts. It endeared him to them.
Made him human.
Exactly.
Showed vulnerability.
Yeah.
Elicited sympathy from bystanders.
Yeah. President Obama on multiple occasions cried.
Blubbering.
Well, I don't know about blubbering, but he was not shy with his tears.
Not at all.
And as we saw from the last campaign, people were willing to start throwing the tears around in the campaign too.
Yep.
Right? Well, we have another presidential election coming up. And no matter how it turns out, it is going to be close. And Trump, in particular, is going to be playing catch up. I hope he never makes it. I hope he never is able to catch up. But this dude is going to be playing catch up. He screwed up the whole world, and he is right now behind the eight ball, and he's hoping for a Hail Mary in order for him to win, right?
You're just your sports metaphors. I love it.
It's because I'm so sporty. He's
just throwing up a Hail Mary, hoping for that three-point shot to drop in the net. Of the bucket.
Yeah. Right at the buzzer.
Exactly.
But you do know that he is playing catch up, and at some point he's going to have to go out of his comfort zone to try to appeal to people. And at some point he's going to have to be. Joe Biden is running for president. That dude cries in commercials, I'm sure. I can't even think how many times I've seen him cry.
All he does is cry.
He loves crying. That dude loves crying.
Loves it.
So Trump at some point is going to have to try to put on his little crying pants and cry along. But here's the thing. He is well known to be a sociopath, narcissist. he's not necessarily what you call the crying type, right? No. So how's he going to cry, right?
I don't know how.
Well, you know, I did think back. I had an acting teacher at one point who told you how to physically, if you're unable to emotionally make yourself cry for a scene, that taught us how to physically make yourself cry. But it takes quite a bit of practice, and just consider it a piece of blocking, basically, from that, right? No, it takes you 10 seconds to be able to have tears come out of your eyes from when the time you started. So consider it a piece of blocking, right? But the problem is it takes work. And I don't think Trump is the type to go for that work. I did see another way that you can cry is it kind of hits on the recent disclosure from Michael Cohen's book in which he apparently says that he saw Clinton watching strippers give golden showers or had them give golden showers to each other. Huh?
You mean Trump, not Clinton.
Trump, yeah. Give themselves golden showers in the in some strip joint in Vegas, kind of confirming the Daniel Steele rumors. Or the Steele dossier.
Yeah, Richard Steele.
Richard Steele, Daniel Steele. The romance Daniel novelist Steele, or whatever he is.
Daniel Steele could have written about two prostitutes giving golden showers in the romance novels.
Sure.
That she puts together.
So there is cases of people who had a mysterious syndrome who would cry whenever they peed. However, it's a very rare syndrome. I don't think we're going to be able to give this to Trump. But this dude, you know, he is going to need to cry.
Mm-hmm.
So I did see one thing out there. There's a product out there called a tear blower. And it looks like some sort of drug paraphernalia, basically. It's mm-hmm. it's a chamber that you put menthol crystals in, and it has tubes on either side that you can blow air through, right? So you uh-huh. blow air in it, it mixes with these menthol crystals, and then it blows out the other end. It is used in movies, all sorts of productions.
Oh, interesting.
And it is... It's basically considered makeup for film, which seems to me mm-hmm. weird that it's makeup, but it is. So we also do know that whatever debates and speeches happen, who knows, maybe Trump's not going to let go of his frickin' rallies and he's still going to do them in person in front of large crowds. But chances are they're all going to be done in a set with a close camera. And so it will be no problem to get a tube, you know, 1-2 feet away from him that you can blow this mentholated air right into his eyes to produce tears.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're going to do. You're going to make a tear blower. For Trump, you're going to make it the most luxurious tear blower you can, right? It's going to probably be made of gold. You're going to have fittings sure. on it. It's going to be gaudy. He doesn't want some plastic crap tear blower that you can get just anywhere. You're going to upsell the fact that the menthol will really help with his crazy breathing nastiness and sniffles that he gets from his Adderall overdoses he has during his debates. So it'll help him out with that. You can make a huge amount of money tear blowing for Trump because he's going to have to cry and appear human. The only thing that might make him cry is when he loses and he knows he's going to probably go to jail and, you know, lose his seat of power or whatever. But because a narcissist could cry, but is going to be very selfishly motivated.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to cry in these debates. And you're going to take something that already exists, but make it luxurious and sell it to him as something that also help with his horrible, horrible Adderall problem. Yep. And you're gonna make a lot of money.
Yep. I mean, we don't have time for me to do my idea, but I will say that my idea had to do with this thing called pseudobulbar effect, also known as emotional incontinence.
Okay.
And it apparently something that stroke victims get a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's this emotional disturbance characterized by uncontrollable episodes of crying and or laughing that have that are not rooted in anything.
Okay.
That you like just be having a conversation with someone and they'll just suddenly start crying and they won't actually be emotional, but it will be an emotional cry.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with laughing. They'll just randomly start laughing their asses off for 5-6 minutes and then stop. And you'll be like, what was so funny? And they'll be like, nothing. And since we're all pretty sure that he has had several TIAs since being, which are the mini strokes,
yeah,
since being in this, you know, one good crack to the back of the head,
yeah,
could shift things enough that he could end up with this emotional incontinence to go with his obvious love of other forms of incontinence,
yeah,
and really come on strong with the crying.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
That's an excellent idea, Noel.
Hey, you guys, if you want to get in touch with Josh and I and tell us some ideas for the show or anything, you can get us on Twitter at GRQJoshNoel.
You can email us at GRQWithJoshAndNoel@gmail.com.
Get us at Facebook at Facebook.com/GRQJoshNoel. You can go on iTunes or anywhere. You can download a podcast nowadays, subscribe, rate, review. If you only listen to us in podcast form, come on. Tune in Saturday nights, 8 o'clock, Radio Free Brooklyn. Get the schemes 5 days for everyone else. Get there early. Listen to Art Star Scene. Stick around afterwards. Listen to The Circuit, which is coming up in just a couple minutes. There's a lot of good things going on Radio Free Brooklyn. Tune in, dummies. At this point, you got a lot of money in your pockets. What are you going to do with it? Josh is going to tell you right now.
Save that money!
A pandemic is no time to be modest for at least one person who commissioned a very expensive piece of protective gear.
We're working right now on the most expensive COVID mask, COVID-19 mask in the world. It's made out of 18 karat white gold, set with 3,600 stones, black and white diamonds, for the price of $1.5 million.
Money was clearly no object when an Israeli jewelry shop got this special request from a Chinese businessman living in the U.S.
There were three conditions of the customer that we needed to fill. The first one, it must be N99 approved by the FDA and the European standards. The second condition was that it will be delivered before December 31st this year. And the third condition, which was the easiest to fulfill, was that it will be the most expensive mask in the world.
So there you go, guys. Most expensive mask in the world. Seems to me like we're getting rich off of all of these ideas.
Yep.
So once again, for Josh.
And Noel, don't spend all that knowledge in one place.
Okay. Well, I had a buck when I went to the track, had 20 grand when I came back, gonna get